Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes. And then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now, it comes in black and two different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com, free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. You know, since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans. Now, they are the heroes that put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Now, Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. Now, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye. He needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers thankfully paid off his mortgage, and they gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. His home also gives him hope. And with the help of people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers. This is a great mission. They support America's heroes. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month so this great work continues. Their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's HealthLock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
Tried to switch from looks to stamina. But this is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs, and someone who has said pregnancy is an inconvenience to employers, who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men. And one of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Her name is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. But you want to know the truth? I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary, to her family, and I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's inappropriate. It's not nice, but she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on negative ads on me, many of which are absolutely untrue. They're untrue and they're misrepresentations. And I will tell you this, Lester, it's not nice, and I don't deserve that. But it's certainly not a nice thing that she's done. It's hundreds of millions of ads. And the only gratifying thing is I saw the polls come in today. And with all of that money, over $200 million is spent. And I'm either winning or tied. And I've spent practically nothing. But in all fairness to Secretary Clinton, when she started talking about this, it was really very recently. She's been doing this for 30 years. And why hasn't she made the agreements better? The NAFTA agreement is defective just because of the tax and many other reasons, but just because of the fact.
Let me interrupt just a moment.
Secretary Clinton and others, politicians, should have been doing this for years, not right now because of the fact that we've created a movement. They should have been doing this for years. What's happened to our jobs and our country and our economy generally is, look, we owe $20 trillion. We cannot do it any longer, Lester. And Hillary, I just ask you this. You've been doing this for 30 years. Why are you just thinking about these solutions right now? For 30 years, you've been doing it, and now you're just starting to think of solutions.
Well, actually,
I will bring, excuse me, I will bring back jobs. You can't bring back jobs.
Well, actually, I have thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for 30 years.
I have, well, not quite that long.
All right, there are some of the moments from last night's debate. Glad you are with us. Boy, do we got a lot of ground to cover here today. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. More than 80 million people viewed the presidential debate last night. The previous record, it made it the most watched debate ever, according to Nielsen Research. The previous record was the only debate between Ronald Reagan and President Jimmy Carter, which drew 80 million in an era with far fewer channels, no internet. I'm not sure if you can even measure all of the internet viewing that took place last night. I'm sure it's a record by far, less than what some people had expected. All right, let me, you know, it's amazing to me how everybody doesn't get what's happening. And that's why I guess I'm here. And that's why I have this job, so I can do the work of other people, because they can't be any more wrong. First of all, you got to start with this. It was the single most entertaining debate I have ever seen. If you've ever doubted why, what the American people are shouting, they are screaming at both politicians and the media that they are not doing their job and that they are out of touch. And just like in every other previous debate, you know, there's a woman that wrote me today. I thought Donald Trump did really well until I started watching what everybody else thought about it. And I think that kind of sums it up. If you listen to media elites, the punditry class, they almost universally think Hillary Rodham Clinton won that debate. I mean, just if you follow their commentary, it is, but millions of Americans voting online, and I mean millions. I'm not talking about a small number of people here. And it's not just the Drudge Report. It's also CBS and CNBC and NewJersey.com and Fortune Magazine and The Right Scoop and Slate and, you know, stations in like WKRN and I forget where that is. But WKRN is in Cincinnati. If you look at all of these different places, I'm sorry, WCPO in Cincinnati, WKRN is in Nashville, even Variety, Slate, the Vegas Sun, Fox 5 San Diego, Fox Tribune, and it goes on from there. Time Magazine, you know, CNN, oh, that's right, 500 people, oversampled Democrats, Hillary won. Okay, fine. Millions of Americans, millions of them, taking the time, nearly a million on Drudge alone. And on my website, Hannity.com, it was 84% Trump. All right, you can say, well, Hannity, you're supporting Trump. That's not fair. All right, take mine out of it. But millions of Americans decided, they felt so passionately about this debate that they took online and they gave the debate handily to Donald Trump. And you look at the polls and Donald Trump's momentum is irrefutable. He's obviously growing. Now, if you look at, you know, why is there this great divide? Because you've got two different sets of standards by which these debates are being judged. And it happened all throughout the Democratic primary. If you look at Congress's approval rating right now, it is 12%. If you look at the media's approval rating, it's the lowest it has been in the history of polling. If you look at what every exit poll in the Republican primary showed, 65% of Republicans feel betrayed by their own party. So I think this gets to the heart of what this divide is all about. If you're a typical journalist, if you're a typical politician, if you're a typical TV pundit, you are now using a standard, a paradigm that no longer exists for real people in this country. In other words, if you think the winner of the debate is somebody that's robotic, somebody that memorized somebody else's zingers and lines and is able to recite those zingers and those prepared lines of somebody else, then you think Hillary Clinton won the debate. But because the core of Hillary's arguments were really simple last night. And this is where the great divide is that Hillary is a huge tax and spend leftist, statist, liberal. And she said so last night, and she said so repeatedly last night, that she is going to spend and spend and spend and spend and spend, and she'll spend some more. And she's going to redistribute wealth, and she's going to tax corporations, and she's going to do whatever she has to do to keep people dependent on government. Because that's who she is, that's where she comes from, that's what she truly believes in. That's what she thinks is what's needed for the country. In other words, doubling down on stupid. Doubling down on Obama's failure. And what, you know, and I got to tell you, all of these liberal pundits, all of the TV class, all of the Washington class that are judging this based on prepared written lines by somebody else, an outdated paradigm, just like it was outdated in the Republican primary, they are missing it all. They are so out of touch. Because you can't be a rational human being and look at facts and data about the truth about where we are. According to Hillary, everything's fine. Everything's just ducky. You know, even Ted Cruz, he said the entire debate, Ted Cruz said, from Hillary was more Washington as usual. Every proposal she advanced was another big government solution. What, she wants free college, free daycare, free, and she's going to tax the rich and tax corporations to pay for it. And that's what's not working. That's what's failing. And Cruz even said that was the strongest debate performance he's had in this election cycle. And Ted Cruz is one of the best debaters in the country. He was the national debate champion. And he says, I think he really went after Hillary, which was a good thing. And he was able to draw this strong contrast, particularly on taxes, regulation, and the law and law and order, the disastrous Iranian deal, and everything else that has gone wrong in the Middle East. If you want substance, you think Trump won that debate last night. If you want doubling down on stupidity and you want zingers that are prepared and written by other people and robotic answers, you're a Hillary Clinton supporter. You know, how can, and this goes to everything that I've been arguing. Now, I know that the punditry class, the TV class, the Washington class, they have their health care. They have the best plans available. They have their chauffeur-driven limousines. They go to their big expensive steakhouses and buy big expensive bottles of wine. They have their nice house and their nice vacation house. But that's not where the country is now. You know, there's a reason why I keep telling you where we really are. And why people voted for Trump winning this debate is simple. And they don't get it. You can't be a rational person and see that we have the worst recovery since the 40s, the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, with nearly 95 million Americans out of the labor force, the lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. I'm pretty sure all the pundits on TV own their own homes. I'm pretty sure that all the politicians own their own homes. You can't look at 12 million more Americans on food stamps since Obama's been president, 8 million more in poverty since he's been president, 1 in 5 American households without a single person working today, 1 in 6 American men 18 to 34 either in jail or out of work. And if you're Black American, you know, Hillary's basically saying that's outrageous that you talk about the Black community. Trump was right. Every 4 years, politicians go into inner cities and they say, give me your vote. They have the worst schools, the worst crime, poverty, because we're not doing anything. We have failed inner city America in a spectacular, dangerous way for the entire country. Black Americans since Obama's president, 58% increase of them on food stamps, 20% increase Black Americans out of the labor force. And as Trump just said, 8 years, Obama's accumulated more debt than every other president before him combined. By the way, how's Social Security working out for you? How's keeping your doctor and keeping your plan and saving $2,500 a year working out for you? So you got the elites in the political class, the elites in the media class. You know, they're judging this debate on a standard of zingers and robotic and memorized lines and not the suffering. The everyday suffering, real life, that has been inflicted on the people of this country by their government. Now, this divide, Americans know this. They are living this. They are feeling this. And they are suffering every day because of this. And all my overpaid friends in the media, by the way, all these pundits, there's not one of them that doesn't make 100 plus grand a year. There's not one of them that doesn't get driven to work every day. There's not one of them that doesn't probably own their own house if they want one, or apartment, or wherever they're living. You know, they have their great lifestyle. And therein lies the disconnect and the contempt of the American people towards the media and politicians, and hence their lowest approval rating ever. How could we possibly afford everything that Hillary proposed last night? It's impossible. You can't. Why would you, after Obamacare, keep your doctor plan and save money, ever trust them to put in daycare, student this, student that, free college tuition, free. You know, Black America, Donald Trump brings up in Chicago. This year alone, 3,000 people shot. Over 75% Black Americans. Since Obama's been president, 4,000 people killed in his home city of Chicago. And Hillary says, well, she first tries to play the race card. She didn't mention the super predator thing. That was Donald Trump who brought that up. That backfired against her. And she basically, well, we're not giving enough credit. Credit, we're not protecting people. We have failed the Black community in this country. The worst schools are in inner city America. They're dealing with failed schools, crime, poverty, and drugs. And we've done nothing to help them. Except, please give us your vote every 4 years. Really? That's disconnected from reality. Obamacare is a disconnect from reality because the average American family didn't keep their doctor or their plan, didn't save $2,500 a year, on average is paying $4,100 more a year. So you've got the punditry class, the media class, the political class seeing this debate one way, and the people seeing this debate another way. Now, the only thing I have to say is this. Everybody, except maybe yours truly and a few others, they all saw the other debates, the 12 debates with Trump, starting with 16 other people, the same way. And they got it wrong. And I'm telling you, you cannot look at this list of polls that I have here in front of me, where the people say Donald Trump won, and not realize that there's something dramatic going on in the country. Can I guarantee Donald Trump's going to win? No, I can't. Can I guarantee that these people are wrong about how Americans feel? Absolutely. Do I think it'll translate at the ballot box? I certainly hope so and believe it's more than likely. They're so wrong. They have no idea. And I didn't even talk about terrorism. You know, you think of what wasn't discussed last night. Deleted emails, Benghazi, vetting refugees, no wall, Saudi Arabia, no Supreme Court talk last night. But they talked about birtherism. What kind of debate is this? Lester Holt himself was wrong on the economy. It was his opening remark. Wrong on Iraq. Wrong on stop and frisk. He pulled three Candy Crowleys last night.
We're calling this opening segment Achieving Prosperity. And central to that is jobs. There are two economic realities in America today. There's been a record six straight years of job growth, and new census numbers show incomes have increased at a record rate after years of stagnation. However, income inequality remains significant, and nearly half of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
That first question, by the way, glad you're with us, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. That first question is so off, so misrepresentative of what the economy is really like. It's morning in America again, thanks to Obama. That's basically the way he phrased that question. Did he bring up 12 million more Americans in poverty on food stamps? 8 million more in poverty? No. Well, why not? Lester Holt, you would think we didn't have any economic problem. Lowest labor participation rate since the 70s. Lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. Worst recovery since the 40s. One in five American households. Nobody's working. More debt than any other president before him combined. No, 6 years. Well, he's pulling out. He's not looking at the entire labor force. It's pretty remarkable and pretty abusively biased. But that was not the only example of his bias. When Lester Holtz, well, that was ruled unconstitutional when he was talking about stop and frisk. Wrong again. The judge got thrown off the case in the stop and frisk case. And it wasn't when Rudy was mayor either. And stop and frisk, what Donald Trump said was right. About 2,500 murders a year. Got as low as 300 under Mayor Bloomberg. The big dramatic decline was under Mayor Giuliani. There is no legal precedent. The Earl Warren case that Rudy was citing last night is dead on accurate. And then it was the other issue that he got wrong was on Iraq. Forget about me. Let's all right. Just because he goes on Howard Stern, do you support the war? I guess so. He was on Neil Cavuto. It's on tape. Forget about my conversations. He said to Neil Cavuto, I think we ought to focus on the economy.
You had to sort of break down for the president, if you were advising him, how much time you commit to Iraq versus how much time you commit to the economy, what would you say?
Well, I'm starting to think that people are much more focused now on the economy. They're getting a little bit tired of, hearing we're going in, we're not going in. Whatever happened to the days of Douglas MacArthur? I mean, he'd go and attack. He wouldn't talk. I mean, we have to, it's sort of like either do it or don't do it.
You're saying the leash on this is getting kind of short here, that the president has got to do something, presumably sooner rather than later, and stringing this along could ultimately hurt us.
Well, he's either got to do something or not do something.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Because perhaps he shouldn't be doing it yet. And perhaps we should be waiting for the United Nations. He's under a lot of pressure. I think he's doing a very good job, but of course, if you look at the polls, a lot of people are getting a little tired. I think the Iraqi situation is a problem, and I think the economy is a much bigger problem.
So he's wrong, Lester Holt, on the economy. He's wrong on stop and frisk. He's wrong on Iraq. He should have been. That was before the war with Neil Cavuto, and it's on audio videotape, for crying out loud. And he pulled three Candy Crowleys on this debate. We should link the Joe Concha article in The Hill. By the way, The Hill is another newspaper that had a poll that had Trump winning. The Hill, CBS, CNBC, Fortune, Slate, Time Magazine, and on and on and on. There's a major disconnect here. Mediaite called Lester Holt. By the way, Mediaite, they're not fans of me. They're hardly a conservative outlet. And they're calling Lester Holt the most biased moderator in presidential debate history. They're editorial writer Alex Griswold writes, I don't support Trump. Was rather pleased to watch him flounder last night, but as much as it pains me to say so, he's basically right. Lester Holt's choice of questions was demonstrably one-sided against Trump. He asked 8 generic questions of both candidates, the sort that make up the meat and potatoes of most presidential debates, but there were also 5 questions that were asked specifically of certain candidates. All but one were to Trump, and all of those were negative questions about varying Trump controversies. Throughout the entire debate, there was exactly one question that was directed towards Clinton. And even as we give Holt a point for asking Clinton a single difficult question, the fact remains he asked Trump 4 times as many negative questions. And I don't care how much you dislike Trump, that shouldn't be happening in a supposedly balanced debate. I can only imagine how the Clinton team would be reacting if those numbers were reversed. In addition, at certain times in the debate, Holt interrupted to fact check the candidates. Every single one of those fact checks, every one was directed towards Trump. And certainly Trump did himself no favors, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not as though Clinton wasn't making bizarre, highly inaccurate, just plain false claims herself. In total, Holt interrupted Trump 50% more than he did Clinton. Lester Holt's moderation may have been the most one-sided in debate history. Holt interrupted Trump 41 times, interrupted Hillary 7 times. Holt asked only 6 questions directed at both candidates. He had 15 questions exclusively for Trump. He only asked Hillary 2 exclusive questions. Let's just break down the numbers. I mean, that's all part of it, too. I was watching the Pipsqueak last weekend, and I actually tweeted him during the show, Brian Stelter. He gets all of his material from Media Matters, and he basically is the extension. He's like Jeff Zucker's, what do you call it? How do I say this? Stenographer. He does whatever Jeff Zucker tells him to do. Go after Fox. Go after Fox. Yeah, go after Fox. Go after Hannity, which I find very amusing. You know, and I was watching the Pipsqueak, and the Pipsqueak has on, you know, Brian Stelter, he has on all these pro-Hillary people, and one after another, and it goes on week after week. That's all he happens to say. I wonder if he's going to put out this information. He's a media guy, right? Anyway, even Michael Moore said Trump won the debate. Michael Moore. And I'm going to tell you why I think Michael Moore is saying this. I've interviewed Moore. We've had some knockdown dragouts over the years. I haven't seen him in many years now. But I did see his big Gulfstream 4 sitting on a runway one day, and they said, oh, that's Michael Moore's plane. I guess he chartered it or owns it or something. I don't know. He's a limousine liberal like the rest of them. But Michael Moore probably, now just bear with me here, from Flint, Michigan. We used to have 80,000 GM jobs in Flint, Michigan. And as Trump famously said, it used to be we had clean water in Michigan and factory jobs in Michigan. And now we've got dirty water and GM is in Mexico. Now we have the dirty water in Flint, Michigan, and the GM jobs are in Mexico. I got it right there. And it's pretty amazing. But if you want to look and compare and contrast, it depends what you want in a debate. You know, Hillary, give her credit. If memorizing, staying home while Donald Trump is in Detroit and in Philly and in Wisconsin and all across inner cities and where we met in Cleveland, and he's talking to suffering people and he's meeting with Black American pastors, and he's telling them that he wants to help fix the problems of inner city America, and Hillary's home studying her notebook of prepared lines. If that's how you want to judge the debate, judge it that way. But I don't think that's what's resonating, which is why this disconnect now exists. I think for Trump, it was probably the best debate performance he's ever had. I agree with Ted Cruz. Now, with that said, I would give him some advice moving forward. I think Hillary fired everything she had at him. I think Donald Trump left way too much on the table. When she brings up women, I bring up Saudi Arabia. When she brings up corruption, I bring up her speeches. If she wants tax returns, I want your Wall Street speeches that you got paid $250,000 for an hour for. What did you tell those people privately? Why would you take money from a country that abuses women, gays, lesbians, Christians, and Jews? And why didn't you criticize them even if you took their money? And why don't you return their money? So I think there's a lot on the table that he left. Why did you lie to us about Benghazi? Why did you tell your daughter one thing, the Libyan president one thing, the Egyptian prime minister one thing, and tell the American people a big whopper that this was a spontaneous demonstration where the spontaneous demonstrators just happen to have mortars in their back pocket and RPGs? How did that possibly happen? You know, explain more about the deleted emails and bleach bit that was used to clean your server. Not like with a cloth, like with bleach bit. Not like with a cloth, Ed. No, like with bleach bit, which is to get rid of it so God can't find it. You know, why don't you listen to Clapper and Comey? Why don't you listen to Steinbeck? Why don't you listen to Brennan? Why don't you listen to Mike McCall and General Allen about their admonition that ISIS will infiltrate the refugee population? Okay, why do you want a bridge to Mexico when we need a wall because Americans are losing jobs and it's driving down wages and it's bad for our national security? What kind of Supreme Court justice would you put on one that cites foreign constitutions and foreign law to justify their radical decisions of legislating from the bench? Hey, there's so much to get to here. He's got a lot of stuff in these next debates that he can bring in here. And I hope he does. You know, but I will say this. These polls are fascinating to me. This divide is even more fascinating to me. You know, if you've got liberal elites in the media and liberal elites in Washington, and they can argue that, well, Trump does better in online surveys because his supporters are more energized. Okay, why are they energized? Because they don't want any more of the crap that's being rammed down their throat and any more of the failure. And I've yet to even mention really a lot about foreign policy. Not saying radical Islam. What she did about Libya. This horrible deal with Iran. It came up, but not to the extent I would like. And oops, I made a mistake. I voted for the war. I sent 5,000 people to die in this war. And then I politicized the war and I pulled them out. Oops, I'm sorry. We've got to learn from our mistakes, she said. Really? Well, what if it was your daughter and your son? That's another issue that we should bring up here. You know, with all due respect to all of these politicians and all of these all in the punditry class and all these spoiled brat TV pundits and commentators, I don't see their kids fighting, bleeding, and dying in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, I don't see any media people fighting, bleeding, and dying there. You know, they should be as upset that all these cities we won, Ramadi and Fallujah and Mosul and Tikrit. And then Hillary says, oh, no, bad. I made a mistake. Let's pull them out and let's give this. Let's create an opening for ISIS that they have the oil. This is real substance here. This is not a game. This is not about a memorized jab or a memorized stinger or zinger. It's just not. You got a professional hack, failed politician who's accomplished nothing in 30 years. And basically, she wants more of the same. And she's good at memorizing lines. That's all she does. She hasn't accomplished much. So, I you know, and it's showing up in the polls. Why is Trump winning Iowa? Why is he now even in Pennsylvania? Why is he only 2 points down Marquette University poll in Wisconsin? Why is he only 3 down in Michigan? Why is he now tied today in Minnesota, 42-42? If Hillary Clinton has to fight for Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and Pennsylvania, she's done. She's done. And in that sense, I think if Trump does add to the good job that he did last night with a lot of ammunition that he did leave on the table, although I've got to say, I could not do what he did at the end of that debate last night. And you know what he did? He had it. It was sitting there on a tee. Really, Hillary? You want to talk about women? You really want to go here? And it could have been a brutal takedown. Says something about a guy that looks at the daughter of a presidential candidate and says, you know what? I'm not going there. By the way, Hillary says women deserve equal pay. Well, why didn't she pay her own staff equal money?
Who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men?
Yeah, why not? It's a good question. Anyway, so I would argue Trump did everything he needed to do last night. I really do. Maybe at times a little too defensive, I'd add that to it. He doesn't have to answer to Hillary about his tax returns. The media went nuts when he said, well, this probably didn't pay taxes. Well, that would be smart. Using every legal deduction you created, Hillary. That would have been a good way to handle that. So Trump doesn't need to use these debates to throw red meat to conserve. Why does my phone keep ringing? Hang on 1 second. Hang on. Yes, hello. Who's this? Welcome to the... Yeah? From who? Oh, yeah. I'm on the air right now. Can you tell him I'm actually... He actually pays me to do this. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye. It's my boss at radio. I thought it was that. I'm like, why are you calling me during the... Doesn't he know I have a show to do every day? They pay me to do the show. It's pretty funny. Why are you laughing in there? You guys are all cracking up. Why do you look nervous, Ethan? We're not in trouble.
Hey, Donald Trump told everyone to call you last night.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, I've had to change my number since last night as a result of Donald Trump. Call Hannity's. Somebody put out a hat that they're actually selling. Call Hannity. But, you know, I've said this on the air. I remember I get these calls from Donald. What are you doing? We would argue in like this passionate way about the Iraq war. But, you know, it was pretty funny.
Today is my granddaughter's second birthday, so I think about this a lot. First, we have to build an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. That means we need new jobs, good jobs, with rising incomes. I want us to invest in you. I want us to invest in your future. That means jobs in infrastructure, in advanced manufacturing, in innovation and technology, clean, renewable energy, and small business, because most of the new jobs will come from small business. We also have to make the economy fairer. That starts with raising the national minimum wage and also guarantee, finally, equal pay for women's work. I also want to see more companies do profit sharing. If you help create the profits, you should be able to share in them, not just the executives at the top. And I want us to do more to support people who are struggling to balance family and work. I've heard from so many of you about the difficult choices you face and the stresses that you're under. So let's have paid family leave, earned sick days. Let's be sure we have affordable child care and debt-free college. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by having the wealthy pay their fair share and close the corporate loopholes.
Our country is suffering because people like Secretary Clinton have made such bad decisions in terms of our jobs and in terms of what's going on. Now, look, we have the worst revival of an economy since the Great Depression. And believe me, we're in a bubble right now. And the only thing that looks good is the stock market. But if you raise interest rates even a little bit, that's going to come crashing down. We are in a big, fat, ugly bubble. The worst of all things has happened. We owe $20 trillion and we're a mess. We haven't even started. And we've spent $6 trillion in the Middle East, according to a report that I just saw. Whether it's six or five, but it looks like it's six. $6 trillion in the Middle East. We could have rebuilt our country twice. And it's really a shame. And it's politicians like Secretary Clinton that have caused this problem. Our country has tremendous problems. We're a debtor nation. We're a serious debtor nation. And we have a country that needs new roads, new tunnels, new bridges, new airports, new schools, new hospitals. And we don't have the money because it's been squandered on so many of your ideas.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. The Great Divide, as I call it. And that is, you know, somebody wrote me, I thought Donald Trump did great last night until I started watching all the shows. And you've got the punditry class. The media is now at an all-time low in terms of their trust level in the history of this country. Could this be the reason? And then you've got, of course, politicians, even Republicans in the primary. Every single primary, 65% of Republicans feel betrayed by their own party. So if you're the typical politician, the typical journalist, living the typical lifestyle with your great health plan, your guaranteed work for the rest of your life, and you're watching a debate last night and you're judging it on a standard that is, well, who memorized written lines better than the other candidate? You're going to pick Hillary. But if you're one of those Americans, 95 million out of the labor force, you're listening to Donald Trump point out, yeah, this is a disaster. If you're one of the 12 million more Americans on food stamps since Obama became president, you have a different perspective. If you're one of the 8 million more Americans in poverty, I bet you took a very different look at that debate last night. Or one in five American households without a single person working. Or one in six American men, 18 to 34, if you're in jail or out of work. I bet you looked at that debate a lot differently than, you know, oh, did she memorize lines better than Donald Trump memorized them, like a robot? If you're a black American, one of the 58% increase of them on food stamps or the 20% increase black Americans out of the labor force, if you worry about our nation's debt, we had 43 presidents accumulate debt. And then we've got one president that accumulated more debt than all of them combined, Obama, and saying everything is fine. Newt Gingrich calls it the intellectual yet idiot class, and that they've gotten this debate wrong like they did in the primaries. How are you?
I'm doing great, although I have to confess it's actually Nassim Taleb who wrote The Black Swan who came up with that term. And it sort of captured what we saw once again. We've had 13 debates with Donald Trump now, 12 with Republicans, one with a Democrat. Every single time. The Washington, New York intellectual news media class gets together with their friends, and they tell us that he lost. And every single time you go out and you start looking at data, it turns out he won. And my newsletter today, which people can get at gameproductions.com for free, I simply lay out the case that what you have, and you saw it last night with Lester Holt, who isn't a bad guy, but he's them. I mean, he can't help himself. He was essentially was the Holt Clinton ticket versus Donald Trump. And and you're going to see it even worse when you get to somebody like Anderson Cooper, who I predict will just be beyond control in his need to go after Trump. And so the average American watches, and the person who's done the best job of writing about this today is Selena Zito, who I linked to in my newsletter. She went to a working-class Democratic bar in western Pennsylvania near Arnold Palmer's birthplace. She watched the debate with people who historically voted Democrat. And the most telling comment was one guy who said, Hillary Clinton should not talk about Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton was a moderate and she is a left-winger, and she does not stand for anything Bill Clinton stood for. And so here are people who voted for Clinton in 1992 and in 1996, and they're saying, this is gone. We're not going to be with her anymore. And she said, the debate last night actually moved votes to Trump in that part of Pennsylvania.
If you look at the polls, and I did see that you linked to this in your newsletter today, Time Magazine, Fortune Magazine, by the way, Time Magazine, hardly a conservative publication, NewJersey.com, which is the news site service, hardly conservative, CNBC. If you look at Cincinnati and San Diego, two of the best test markets in the country because they represent a lot of middle America. Trump wins there. Variety Trump wins. Slate Trump wins. Nashville WKRN wins. The Vegas Sunny wins. Fox 5 San Diego. San Diego Tribune wins. Never mind Drudge and my website and a bunch of others. Why is there this great divide? I think this woman captured...
Because I think there are two worlds, and I thought Hillary personified the world that Trump's describing. There's a world of people, what Nassim Taleb said was, look, we've seen worldwide the growth of a class of people who are really good at taking tests and writing essays. And they get to go to college where their professors have them take tests and write essays, and they do really well at it, so the professors then either get them professorships, they get them jobs in news media, or they get them jobs in government where they all write essays. None of them have done anything in the real world. I mean, Hillary Clinton talks about creating jobs as though she'd ever done one. She never created a job in her life. She talks about a whole range of things. It'd be wonderful, but they're a fantasy. It's like listening to your seven-year-old describe what Santa Claus should bring. But she doesn't know how to do any of them. And you start talking, and this is one of the great failures of Lester Holt last night. If he had said to her, how do you feel about your Libyan plan failing? How do you feel about your Russian reset failing? How do you feel about your ideas and your plans for the Middle East failing? None of that came up. So in many ways, it was let's stay at a nice, pleasant level where we all live out our fantasies. And that's why I think the country's so sick of these people, because they know they have enormous power. They have all these bureaucracies. They issue all this red tape. They control our lives in 1,000 ways. And they're incompetent. They're not in the real world.
You know, I agree with all that, but they did spend time on birtherism, very important topic of our day, and they did spend, you know,
that, by the way, began with Holt saying, you lied about this for 5 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, if you go to the first...
The language he uses.
He won, by the way, Lester Holt... His opening question was based on, oh, our economy's turned around. And I'm like, right. No, it's not turned around. You know, he advocated against stop and frisk, and he was wrong because the judge was thrown off the case that he's talking about. And then, you know, when he talked about Iraq, he was wrong as well in terms of Donald Trump. Donald Trump saying to Howard Stern, I guess so, is not support for a war. And I know because I had a million private conversations, and he was livid over the Iraq war. Livid.
All right. Well, I am. Let me just say that I want advice to Trump coming out of last night is be prepared to be tougher with the moderators. And not be tougher with Hillary, be tougher with the moderators. I mean, he should have taken to head on. You know, you have this terrific article on Labor Day by... A brilliant demographer, Nick Ebersat, who says there are 10 million men who've dropped out of the labor market. They're not unemployed. They're gone. They're not even in the labor market. This is a good economy.
Well, I mean, that's the point I've been making here, and I think this is where the divide is. I'm not sure, and I might be totally wrong on this, but I think going forward, we're now going to have an entire new standard in terms of where the country is. Now, add these polls together. We now have Congress at a 12% approval rating. We have the latest poll, Pew Gallup, have come out. The lowest level the media has in terms of trust ever in the history of the polling of these organizations. And when you couple that together with their interpretation or their millionaire anchor's interpretation of what happened last night versus what the people are saying, let's see, in Time and Fortune and NewJersey.com, CNBC, Variety, Slate, The Vegas Sun, Fox 5, San Diego, San Diego Tribune, and many, many others, you've got to say it doesn't matter what these people say anymore. They're out of touch with the people that they're supposed to be reporting to. And they're out of touch with the people, if you're a representative, that they're supposed to represent. And that includes right. Republican politicians.
So let me suggest a small project we should launch after last night. Let's set up fact check the moderators.
Yeah, who fact checks the fact checker?
I mean, I think if we just put in real time during the debate, every single time the moderator was clearly left-wing, anti-Trump, unfair, or inaccurate, that by the end of the debate, we'd know a lot.
What happens as a result of this debate? What do you think when we read polls?
Look, I think, and I make this point in my newsletter today, I think this was a strategic defeat for Hillary. There's a poll that came out yesterday in Minneapolis. They're tied 42-42 in Minnesota. There's a poll from Marquette University. He's only 2 points behind in Wisconsin. He is ahead by 6 or 7 in Iowa, and she only has half as many absentee ballots as Obama had in Iowa at this point in 2012. Now, these are states that should not be going the direction they're going in. I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan yesterday, and they believe there's a very real chance that Trump's going to carry Michigan. He is ahead now clearly and decisively in Ohio. She needed last night to turn things around, and she had to do one of two things. She had to prove that Trump was as unreliable as her TV ads, or she had to prove that she had a vision of real change. She did neither. She was the defender of the past, and frankly, Trump came off fine. I mean, you know, I'm very proud that at the very end, when she attacked him and went off on this whole rant about women, and you could see his face. In the Republican primaries, he would have just smashed her. But he thought about it, and he said, you know, I'm sure he said to himself, a president of the United States shouldn't attack somebody personally when their daughter is sitting in the audience. And he bit his tongue, and he was a gentleman. And I thought in many ways that was the most important moment of the whole evening. He proved that he had the discipline to remain as a decent guy, even when she was disgusting. And I think it probably was a great disappointment to her staff that this taunt that they were sure was going to set him off, so that they would end the debate with him doing something foolish. Instead, he came off looking like a gentleman, and she came off looking pretty mean and miserable.
It was interesting that she held that back. One of the things I felt, too, I mean, there's so much that we didn't get to in this debate that will come up in the next debate. I mean, you know, we can run through the
well,
list. Maybe I'm expecting too much of my liberal media friends, but, you know, I would expect that Benghazi is going to come up. I'd expect that money from the Saudis is going to come up.
Why don't we also put together a checklist for future moderators? You know, topics you should try to get to.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, they didn't talk about the deleted emails. They didn't talk about Benghazi. They didn't talk about vetting refugees. They didn't talk about the wall. They didn't talk about the Supreme Court. I mean, and they only skimmed the surface on energy independence and her insanity about, well, solar panels. I'm like, well, didn't we try all of this with Solyndra? And didn't they get rich and we wasted all that money?
Yep.
So, all right. So overall, a good night for Trump, I think. I'm going to be fascinated with the polls. I don't think the media has the influence they once think they had in terms of influencing people. I think that'll be proven.
And this kind of one-sided treatment just further weakens. It convinces everybody who's disgusted with Washington that they are Washington, that they're defending Washington, they're propping up Hillary. And in the long run, I think it strengthens Trump. And I think he's just got to continue to calmly and methodically prepare and campaign and raise the issues that are working.
Yeah. All right, well said. Mr. Speaker, thank you as always. His column, by the way, we'll put it up on my website, Hannity.com. The intellectual yet idiot class gets the debate wrong. Extraordinarily well said. Lester Holt, rightly so, is getting the criticism he deserves here. His opening question about, oh, the economy is pretty amazing and so on and so forth, I'm thinking, no, it's not. We've had 6 consecutive this and that. I'm like, what alter reality are you living in? And he really did a disservice right out of the box, almost like trying to make the case for Barack Obama's economy, which would then help Hillary because she has planned that she's going to go forward with that plan. You know, that was one example of him pulling a Candy Crowley. And there are other examples also. I mean, when he challenged Donald Trump on the whole issue of Iraq, putting me out of it for just a second, let's go to before the Iraq war, what he said to my buddy Neil Cavuto. Listen to this.
You had to sort of break down for the president, if you were advising him how much time you commit to Iraq versus how much time you commit to the economy, what would you say?
Well, I'm starting to think that people are much more focused now on the economy. They're getting a little bit tired of, hearing we're going in, we're not going in. Whatever happened to the days of Douglas MacArthur? I mean, he'd go and attack. He wouldn't talk. I mean, we have to, it's sort of like either do it or don't do it.
You're saying the leash on this is getting kind of short here, that the president has got to do something, presumably sooner rather than later, and stringing this along could ultimately hurt us.
Well, he's either got to do something or not do something.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Because perhaps he shouldn't be doing it yet. And perhaps we should be waiting for the United Nations. He's under a lot of pressure. I think he's doing a very good job, but of course, if you look at the polls, a lot of people are getting a little tired. I think the Iraqi situation is a problem, and I think the economy is a much bigger problem.
The Iraqi situation's a problem. Maybe he shouldn't go. Because the economy is a bigger problem. Pretty interesting, isn't it? And, and what the media and people like Lester Holt are going off of is an interview that he did on the Howard Stern Show. Well, are you for invading Iraq? I guess so.
But we have an idea who the enemy is, and a lot of times the politicians don't want to tell you that.
Are you for invading Iraq?
Yeah, I guess so. I wish it was. I wish the first time it was done correctly.
Okay. So now he's talking about that, but the Cavuto interview was before the war. Oh, excuse me. So there's three, big separate times here that he goes Candy Crowley, but look, it is what it is. You can't stop the media from being who the media is and what they are and what they're always going to be. So, he's wrong on Iraq. He's wrong on the economy. And then he was also wrong on stop and frisk because the judge got thrown off that case.
Communities are being decimated by crime.
Your 2 minutes has expired, but I do want to follow up. Stop and frisk was ruled unconstitutional in New York because it largely singled out Black and Hispanic young men.
No, you're wrong. It went before a judge who was a very against police judge. It was taken away from her, and our new mayor, refused to go forward with the case. They would have won an appeal. If you look at it throughout the country, there are many places
where the argument is that it's a form of racial profiling.
No, the argument is that we have to take the guns away from these people that have them and that are bad people that shouldn't have them.
All right, so there you have it. All right, let's get to our phones. Is it Camaro? Oh, Cameron. It's in two lines here. What's up, Cameron? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. I just wanted to touch on the debate last night. Just the obvious and clear bias from Lester Holt. Right out of the gate, they wasted no time going after, with the economy, saying how it's in some great position when, you say on your show every day, you list the stats and statistics on how it's not. Just that point, first of all, and then, even going into the cybersecurity thing, how they did not tie a question about her emails into a cyber, in that cybersecurity question part was just, if that's not a sign of bias, I don't know what is.
Yeah, look, I mean, I almost expect it. It doesn't surprise me. And I just think Donald Trump did the best he could with all of that. Now, with that said, I felt Hillary also, she gave us everything she's got last night. Maybe she didn't bring up Trump University. She brought up every single negative thing that she had prepared against Donald Trump. And he basically, I think this was the test. It was exactly what I said it was going to be. And that is, she's going to try and aggravate, agitate, irritate, upset, and hurt his feelings. And he kept his cool. And even at the end, I actually think Newt's analysis was right. That was a big moment at the end of that debate. I mean, she tried to go all out Megyn Kelly on him with the same words, same phrasing, same question. And at the end of the day, he didn't take the bait.
Exactly.
And I think the expectation was, he fought Megyn Kelly over this for such a long period of time. He's going to probably fight Hillary Clinton over this for the same period of time. And then he looked out into the audience and he saw Bill Clinton and he saw Chelsea Clinton. And he said, everybody knows what I can say right now, but I'm not going to do it. The exact opposite of what everybody would have thought coming into this debate that Donald Trump would have done. And I think that was a big moment for him. I really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Cameron, thank you. Back to our phones. JG, News Radio 600 610 WIOD in Miami. How are you?
Great, Sean. How are you, Sean? Sean, it's interesting last night. And going off what Speaker Gingrich said, I understand and I get it. But again, I think he could have articulated that a little better. Because when he did it, I was reserved in my thinking, I wish he had gone there. But then again, I totally agree with the Speaker. However, Sean, what I think is that while Mr. Trump did not lose the debate, I don't think he won it. In other words, I don't think he went backwards, but he should have gone forward. And watching Hillary and her demeanor was great because I think she's really, Sean, she's basically a sitting duck. Trump has a wealth of information. I think you should put her on the ropes and keep her on the ropes in the next debate and the following one.
I would think, now that Hillary's opened the door to all these attacks, look, as I said, I think she fired every prepared line bullet that she had against him. She fired every bullet in that gun. And I think he, for his part, he kind of held his fire a little. And I think when you think of all the things he can bring up going forward from, you know, all the issues that I keep talking about, he can bring up Benghazi. He can bring up the deleted emails further. He can bring up Saudi Arabia and the money that she got from the Saudis. He can bring up not vetting refugees. He can bring up the wall, the type of justices you'll appoint. So there's plenty. He's got plenty left. I mean, there's two more debates. And let's say, JG, you're right. Let's say he played to a draw. I mean, she's a professional politician. And she, but this is the heart of it, though. Yeah, she memorized her lines. I don't think, I'm telling you, there's something that is not going to work with that style anymore. It's not about being somebody that can memorize talking points and zingers. And I mean, she outlined everyone and she showed she memorized them perfectly. When you stay home every day and that's all you do is debate prep, yeah, that you're going to memorize your lines, I guess, at some point. I just don't think it was effective. I don't think it was inspiring. I don't think it did a whole lot. I think it was a debate model paradigm that I think is now outdated. As you know, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, even Ted Cruz said this. Donald Trump had the best debate performance he'd ever had. Ted Cruz had trouble in debates with Donald Trump. Ted Cruz knew everything, and he just knows everything. Ted Cruz, you know, was a national debate champion. Stylistically, informationally, memorization, he's got it all down. But it still wasn't enough to beat Trump. You got to think about that. That's an amazing statistic. And I say this as a Cruz fan. I like Ted Cruz. I say this as somebody that is that admires the fact that he's different than these guys in D.C. You know, I know people are talking about challenging him in Texas. He's not going to get challenged in Texas. People in Texas love him. Anyway, good points. Appreciate it. 800-941 Sean, Corey in Oklahoma. Hi, Corey. How are you? And we're glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Great to be on with you. I just wanted to point out the obvious bias by the media following this debate. You know, the one poll that they're quoting to was 500 people polled by CNN showing her winning 62% of the vote. But then when you go over to Time Magazine and you go over to Fortune and you go over to CNBC, there were over 3 million combined responders, and it's showing him with a very large lead of an average of 60, sometimes 70%. I just think that that's not going to sit well with voters because the voter's voice outweighs the voice of the biased media that Trump's exposing.
I think you're right. I think this is what my very point today is, that there's now a huge divide. You got the media now that is at its lowest approval rating in the history of polling. You got politicians in Washington, the lowest approval rating since the history of polling. And that includes Republicans, too. And you've and then you've got the rest of us. You know, I think every day I've given out statistics on this program that I think matter in this election more than anything else. And I don't know. I think I know where my passion for this comes from. You know, my passion for 95 million Americans out of work, my passion for one in five American families without a single member in the workforce, my passion for 12 million additional Americans on food stamps. My passion for reading 8 million more Americans are in poverty. My passion, the lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. Where does that come from? It comes from my experience of having no money. It comes from my experience of starting out life with nothing. It comes from my experience of living paycheck to paycheck the way most Americans now sadly live. And that's where, look, I can tell you, all of my media colleagues, I am not loved by anybody in the news media. You know, last night when I walked into the big media room, there had to be 1,000 people in there. I mean, the only people in that room that like me are the police officers who I shake hands with.
Exactly. And the media is so against you because you're the only one on there giving those true stats, and Trump's playing those stats with the voters.
And then Donald Trump walks out right after, and the first thing he did is see me and walk over and did an interview with me. And they hate that. And, why is it? Because I've been fair to the guy and I let him talk? Because I make arguments against Hillary and I have an opinion? 90% of the people in that room are biased, except they lie and I'm dead honest. So I guess that's one of the reasons they don't like me. And I, by the way, do you think I give a rip?
No.
Do you think I've ever been to a media event? I've been at Fox. I'm starting my 21st year on the Fox News Channel next week. I've never been to one Washington correspondence dinner. And you know what? You could shoot me before I ever go to one. Please. Save me the pain. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jezebel, Reno, Nevada. What's going on, Jezebel? How are you?
Hey, Sean. I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I definitely feel it wasn't a strong to offend, but towards the end of the debate, he was asked a question by Lester Holt on what exactly did he mean that Hillary doesn't have the look. And instead of him saying stamina, what he should have said, she has the look of a liar. She has the look of a morally and politically corrupt person who has been tangled up in a scandal after scandal. Weren't both Bill and Hillary disbarred from practicing law? Wasn't Bill Clinton impeached? Weren't the Clintons kicked out of the White House? She has the look of a person with no help from our government who is above the law. That's how he should have responded.
When she's, listen, he did leave stuff on the table that I wish he would have used. But, you know, the more I really thought about it and the more I think about it is, you know, I there's a certain refreshing quality to not being robotic. There's a certain refreshing quality to being authentic and honest and having principles that you're advancing without having the script that goes along with it. You know, but I actually think there's an appeal, which I think was proven in the primary process, of somebody that is not polished, that's not a professional politician.
You know, my husband brought that to my attention. My husband says, you know what, honey, he hasn't had 30 years to practice and master the art of being a political liar. I seen a commercial this morning on TV where it was Hillary a long time ago talking how education and children are so important that she's going to do everything she can so that no child is left behind. Well, I'll tell you what, here we are in 2016, and unfortunately my grandson, who is 11 years old, has been left behind.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I think you're right, and I think your husband's right. And I think the American people get that. And I don't think they're looking for the professional robotic politician that memorizes their lines and lies to them and says, if you like your plan, you keep your plan. You like your doctor, you keep your doctor. On average, the American family pays $2,500 less a year, and then you end up losing your doctor, your plan, and paying $4,100 extra a year. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, but my plan is still great. I love my plan. I got a better plan than you do.
Your regulations are a disaster, and you're going to increase regulations all over the place. And by the way, my tax cut is the biggest since Ronald Reagan. I'm very proud of it. It will create tremendous numbers of new jobs. But regulations, you are going to regulate these businesses out of existence. When I go around, Lester, I tell you this, I've been all over. And when I go around, despite the tax cut, the things that businesses and people like the most is the fact that I'm cutting regulation. You have regulations on top of regulations, and new companies cannot form, and old companies are going out of business, and you want to increase the regulations and make them even worse. I'm going to cut regulations, but I'm going to cut taxes big league, and you're going to raise taxes big league. End of story.
Today is my granddaughter's second birthday, so I think about this a lot. First, we have to build an economy that works for everyone, not just those at the top. That means we need new jobs, good jobs, with rising incomes. I want us to invest in you. I want us to invest in your future. That means jobs in infrastructure, in advanced manufacturing, in innovation and technology, clean renewable energy, and small business, because most of the new jobs will come from small business. We also have to make the economy fairer. That starts with raising the national minimum wage and also guarantee, finally, equal pay for women's work. I also want to see more companies do profit sharing. If you help create the profits, you should be able to share in them, not just the executives at the top. And I want us to do more to support people who are struggling to balance family and work. I've heard from so many of you about the difficult choices you face and the stresses that you're under. So let's have paid family leave, earn sick days. Let's be sure we have affordable child care and debt-free college. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it by having the wealthy pay their fair share and close the corporate loopholes.
All right. Wealthy pay their fair share, invest, get rid of corporate loopholes. What it means is basically Obamanomics 2.0, maybe even on steroids when it's all said and done. I go back to my original theme here. There is something amazing that is happening in this country today. You have an elite class in Washington. Republicans, every single exit poll in the primary, 65% feel betrayed by the Republican Party, by their own party. You have media, a class that have the best health care, just like the people in Washington. They eat at the finest steakhouses. They drink the finest wine. They smoke the most expensive cigars. And they have a life of Riley. And they see this debate totally differently than, let's see, Time Magazine. Magazine, Trump 58-42. Fortune Magazine, Trump 51, Clinton 49. NewJersey.com, Trump 53, Clinton 42. CNBC, Trump 60, Clinton 40. WCPO, Cincinnati. You want to test market something, you go to Cincinnati or San Diego. Trump 60, Clinton 35. Variety, Trump 51, Clinton 48. Slate, Trump 54, Clinton 46. Nashville, WKRN, Trump 63, Clinton 37. The Vegas Sun, Trump 81, Clinton 19. Fox 5 San Diego, Trump 61, Clinton 34. If you go to San Diego in the San Diego Trib, Trump 68, Clinton 32. You know, now, yeah, she did win a handful, but the chattering class is out of touch. Hillary Clinton is out of touch. That we are judging this debate by a very old, outdated media inside the Beltway establishment class versus the real people of this country. The worst recovery since the 40s, the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, 95 million Americans out of work. Home ownership rate, the lowest in 51 years, 12 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty. One in five American households, not a single person working. One in six American men, 18 to 34, in jail or out of work. Black Americans, 58% increase of them on food stamps, 20% increase Black Americans out of the labor force. A president that accumulates more debt than every other president before him combined. Just like, you know, Trump is bringing up this year alone in Chicago, 3,000 people shot since he's been president, nearly 4,000 people killed. We don't know the names of these people. And Hillary's saying it's all right. Anyway, here on our News Roundup Information Overload, then we'll get to your calls. Jessica Tarlov, senior strategist at Schoen Consulting, and Ron Christie, former special assistant to President Bush. And did you agree with me about this divide?
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that the real shift in the American political paradigm that's happening before our eyes?
Yeah, and what you said is exactly right, Sean. The elites in Washington and here in New York City are looking at this debate through one lens and one prism. But if you go out and you talk to normal people, normal Americans who are struggling in this economy, haven't seen their wages rise, have seen explosions of crime all across the United States. Heck, we've had over 500 people killed in Chicago this year alone, which is the worst it's been in 25 years.
Right.
And people say, The Democrats are in charge of these cities. The Democrats are in the White House. This economy sucks. Things aren't getting better. It's getting worse. We need a change.
And look, every Democrat comes running, calling every 4 years. They want to energize the black vote. Hillary tried to play the race card last night. You know, I guess what it comes down to, Jessica, is that either you believe in this old standard for debates, in other words, robotic, prepared, written by somebody else, zingers, memorized zingers, reciting, you know, old school lines. I mean, I felt like I was watching a robot last night with Hillary Clinton. She did a good job, but memorizing other people's words does not impress me. And it did not impress the American people. It might have impressed the chattering class, but all those people you watch on TV are being paid six-figure salaries at least. Met was so overpaid. They're eating at the finest restaurants. They have the best healthcare system, healthcare coverage available. She's so out of touch, and there's such a divide here. I think that's where everybody is getting Donald Trump wrong. They got him wrong in the primary, and I would argue they're getting him wrong here too.
You know, I think that Hillary Clinton was less robotic than many expected her to be.
Less robotic. Less robotic.
Well,
all right.
What are you laughing about? I mean, you have a candidate who is smirking and saying it's smart to not pay taxes, and, you know, his ranting about birtherism and his Iraq vote.
Wait. You can bring up birtherism and you can bring up tax returns. I'd still like to see Hillary's speeches myself that she got paid $250,000 for. But
I thought that she should release them as well. I mean, I think that's the perfect trade for his tax returns for sure. We're not even sure he's actually.
Why didn't we talk about vetting refugees, Benghazi, her taking money from the Saudis last night?
Listen, John, you know, I don't disagree with how you opened. You know, I was watching the debate and I'm thinking, yeah, this is fantastic. And then I'm reading my Twitter and Trump supporters, many of whom I'm friends with through the Fox world or frenemies, I guess, are saying, oh, he's doing so great. And I saw those snap polls, which were different. You know, the focus groups were overwhelmingly for her, which was interesting with the independent voters. And Frank Luntz has a lot of great tweets about it that people should go and look at. But the truth of the matter is that
Frank Luntz has been saying for a year he needs to justify his position that he thinks Hillary's going to win, but that's a different issue.
Precisely.
Okay, well, I mean, I haven't heard many Republicans turning on Frank Luntz, but I guess there's a first for everything. But listen, I don't think that Trump hurt himself necessarily. I think that his strategy that he should prepare more. You know, this is very serious. You're running to be president of the United States of America, and he's going to get follow-up questions, and he's going to be pushed. And the smirking looks bad, you know, and the stamina fight and those kinds of things, I think, rub people the wrong way. But all in all, I don't think he lost any support. I think that what she did is hopefully, you know, garner some more enthusiasm so that Democrats turn out in November, because that's really the big obstacle she's up against.
Do you think she reached that level last night? Because I didn't see it.
I think that she did. I think that she started something. I think there was a distinct change. She looked healthy. She looked energized, and she was ready and prepared. So if you are voting based on temperament, qualifications, preparedness, you're going for Hillary Clinton. If you want a change agent, then I guess you're going for Donald Trump in this election, or maybe you're going to vote for Gary Johnson. And I think that's the big anxiety, that we could, you know, lose 5% or more over to Gary Johnson, especially in the millennial vote.
You know, it gets me, Jesse, about what you just said. She came out, she looked energized, she looked healthy, but she didn't really have an agenda. She didn't have a raison d'etre of why she's running to be president of the United States other than it's my turn and, oh, by the way, I'm entitled to it. If you say that Trump smirked, and look, I've not been a great Trump supporter over the last several months, but she had the most insincere fake smile on her face. She came across as a fraud and a phony. And I keep sitting here thinking, who in the heck is going to vote for this woman? I wouldn't trust this woman to walk the dog that I don't have.
But you trust Donald Trump, Ron? That's what I don't understand. When the man, you know, I think it's going overboard saying, oh, go to my website, all his fact check lies are there over and over again. I don't think that that resonates. But well, you know that Donald Trump lies all the time.
This is a woman who is running for the.
Can I just say something? Who lies all the time? Can we go over the facts of Libya? Can we go off on
the facts of Libya? What is that about a lie?
Okay, I'll tell you what the lie is that Hillary said to her daughter, the Libyan president, the Egyptian prime minister, it was a terror attack, and she told
the
little people, you know, were told there was a YouTube video and a spontaneous demonstration, and that the spontaneous demonstrators happened to have mortars and RPGs in their back pocket.
Oh, and
you think that Hillary devised that plan, that she sat there?
Yeah, I think Hillary knowingly lied.
Did. Yes, of course she lied. How could she say that to her daughter on the same night when she knew it was a terrorist attack, and then to stand above the coffins of the brave men who lost their lives in Benghazi, and she knew that she was lying her head off? That alone to me says that she doesn't have the temperament to be the commander-in-chief if she's going to lie about something like that to the parents of the fallen. And, oh, by the way, how many times did they ask for increased security at the Benghazi consulate? Several times. They were all denied. Oh, let's see. Did Hillary Clinton say that she thought the C above the paragraph meant that it was denoting a different classification? She lied. Jesse, she went through the same training that I did. She sat through the same briefings that I did about classified information. And then for her to say, oh, well, gee, maybe I hit my head and I don't remember my security thing. No, sorry. That disqualifies her from being the president. She has no business having America's secrets, having America's trust to be our commander-in-chief. And yes, as much as I've had my issues with Donald Trump, do I think he is as much of a liar as she is? Not a chance.
That's so crazy to me. I mean, I hear this a lot, obviously, and then it doesn't matter. You know, obviously, you know, everyone picks and chooses which issues are most important to them, and everyone has a right to that. But, I mean, Donald Trump...
Well, how is it they bring up birtherism? How is it that they bring up Donald Trump's taxes and waste all the time on that, but they don't talk about 33,000 purposefully deleted emails? They didn't mention talk about Benghazi. They didn't talk about vetting refugees. They didn't talk about immigration and the wall. They didn't talk about Supreme Court justices. How do you spend all your time? If you got 90 minutes uninterrupted airtime with the two candidates, you know, I'm just trying to...
Well, it's the first debate, and there were certainly more topics, obviously, that got missed. And there were things, you know, that, I mean, Donald Trump did bring up the emails. It was short. Lester Holt didn't continue it. But Matt Lauer certainly took her to task about the emails when you guys were busy saying how fair Matt Lauer was just a few weeks ago. So, you know, there's back and forth here. Donald Trump got pushed back on, I think it was 5 times by Lester Holt. But he said right afterwards that he thought that Holt was very fair. Actually, that's what he said in the spin room before he started saying that his mic had failed.
By the way, there was a mic issue. We did see there was a mic issue. But putting all of that aside here, I guess what you haven't answered though is all of these people polls that literally represent millions. A CNN poll that oversamples Democrats is highlighted, but we're talking about 500 people, or a focus group that you mentioned of 17 people and or 20 people, and I'm thinking, why is there this divide? And I think you're missing the point, is I think most people understand all those economic statistics, the economic reality, the economic truth of what me and Ron are arguing here, and they're living it. And all these elites are judging this debate by a standard that no longer exists in this country, as evidenced by the Republican primary. Yeah. And I would argue, and I may be proven wrong, that we're seeing the same phenomenon here.
Yeah, and this is why I actually think Trump is going to win. I think that most people, when they go to work and they're sitting around the water cooler and they're saying, who are you going to vote for? If they say they're going to vote for Trump, they're going to hear this sneering condescension of, oh, you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're this. And people are going to say, you know what, the hell with it. But when they walk in that voting booth in November, I think they're pulling the lever for Trump. This goes for people of color. This goes for working class folks. This goes for across the board, Sean. I believe he's going to win a lot more handily than people give him credit for.
You know, if you want to elect a robot who's good at memorizing her lines and spent 19 days not doing a town hall, 19 days in August, not doing a town hall. So I guess if you want a robot whose qualification is she can memorize other people's written lines, Hillary's your girl.
Yep.
She's your gal.
I guess so. I guess that's just what I want, and I'm perfectly happy with it. Listen, I think that we may be obviously underestimating the Trump vote. I don't think it's quite the Nixonian silent majority that his team is hoping for. Right. But I think that there are people who are embarrassed to say it. I mean, I certainly, if I was sitting down at a table of friends and I was like, oh, I'm going to vote for Trump, I would be like, what is wrong with
you? But you're making my point.
That's my point.
Yeah, you're a media elitist like the rest of them. That's my point.
I have never.
By the way, and Jessica,
elitist.
Jessica, but, I don't get invited to those parties, and I've been in the media for 30 years.
You can be my plus one.
Hey, what about me? I don't get invited to these either.
I'll have to get permission for that plus one thing, but we'll try it out. All right, guys, good to see you both. All right, when we get back, we'll get your take on this 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the phones. I've had a lot of time to give you my take of last night's debate. We'll go to Matt. Is in Ballston Lake in New York next on the Sean Hannity Show. Matt, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Good, good. Thank you for taking my call. It's very strange what happened yesterday with Glenn Beck when Ted Cruz laid out his plan there for endorsing Trump, with especially with Mike Lee coming to the top of the list on the Supreme Court justice. So just on that alone, if you're supporting anybody else, it, like Cruz said, it's a binary choice right now, and just with the Supreme Court justices, it makes a lot of sense.
I read the entire statement of Ted Cruz on the air the day that he made it, because I thought it was such a powerful commentary on where we are with this election. And by the way, of all the people that I think have a right that ran in a Republican primary to be pissed off at Trump, it's Ted Cruz. In fairness to Ted, it got pretty personal between the two of them, and it was what it was. And but Ted's analysis of last night, I think, also was pretty good. He said the entire debate from Hillary was more Washington as usual. And every proposal that she advanced was another big government solution that's not working, that's failing. And he said, I think Donald had the strongest debate performance he's had in this cycle. I think he really went after her, which was a good thing. And I think he drew a strong contrast, particularly on taxes, on regulation, law and order, and the disastrous Iranian deal. And he's right. If you're going to deal with substance, Trump won on substance. Hillary won on robotic memorization.
Yeah, she showed her true Marxism self. That was the mask was definitely off.
Right, and that's what's missing. This is, look, I guess I'm just at this point in my career, I just don't care anymore. I am telling you that there are so many in my business, in my industry, just like all of those guys in Washington, they have the best health plans, they're all overpaid, they all have six-figure salaries, at least. They all have chauffeurs taking them to work every day and taking them home every day in New York. They all have all of the accoutrement. They all have all of the, what's the word I'm looking for here? All of the benefits, if you will, of living a good lifestyle. And they've lost touch in a major way with we the people. Now, I guess you can put me in that group. Well, Hannity, you're paid well. Well, Hannity, you... You know, you have a good health plan, and that's all true. It's all true. But I'll be perfectly honest. I have not forgotten the 20 years, the two decades of my life doing real work.
Yeah, and Hillary hasn't forgotten those speeches on Wall Street. So
yeah, I mean, that's another point. Yeah. That's a perfect point. She obviously wanted money more from the Saudis than she wanted to stand for women's rights or gay and lesbian rights.
Yeah. But how does she talk about profit sharing with businesses out of one side of her mouth, and the other side of her mouth, she did these Wall Street speeches? What do those contain? She's looking for Trump's
taxes.
Taxes. Why not show us some of those speeches?
You'll never see those speeches, and Wall Street that has them are protecting her by not releasing the speeches. They're protecting her.
They bought in.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right. Let's get back to our phones. Bianca's next, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, southeastern Florida. What's going on? How are you, Bianca?
Hi. Fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make a comment on what's trending on Twitter about Hillary's shoulder shimmy. I looked at that over and over again. I don't think that was a shoulder shimmy. I think it was a mini seizure. Her head bobbled a little bit. And then at the end, she did a little blow, like a sigh of relief. Look at the tape. I'm telling you. And she did it once before. We've seen it. There's a tape where she's got a bunch of people around her and her head bobbles back and forth, but she acts like she's laughing. She's gotten good at covering up. I think she had a mini seizure right there on national television.
Look, that's it. I didn't see that. But, look, I do think her health issues are severe. The only thing I really noticed, and I honestly was trying to listen more than watch. I watched more closely in the beginning of the debate. There was something I thought odd with her blinking, but I didn't think it was that severe, that really worthy of that much commentary, just off to me. And if I had to guess, and I'm not a professional, she's on an awful lot of meds up there. And I guess they, to our doctor's credit, they got her through it.
Right, but she was also, she was smiling, she was laughing quite a bit, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm sorry, but the state of the nation with ISIS, unemployment, so many Americans on welfare, and on it goes, America is not a laughing matter. And it was almost like it was a joke, and I was offended.
Yeah, no, look, I understand your passion. I do. I really do.
Thank you.
All right, let's get back to our phones. Let's say hi to Don in Akron, Ohio. Hey, Don, how are you? And we're glad you called, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good, good. I just wanted to weigh in on last night's debate. And the thing I think Trump did was he struck inadvertent gold, potentially, when he put out the challenge with his taxes versus her releasing the emails. And I'll tell you why. Because his taxes are a big unknown. He could paint himself as the biggest shyster, he could, you know, a loophole taken advantage of, anything like that. In the worst possible, but Sean, it doesn't compare to her putting the nation, to take a play out of the Democratic playbook, you know, play on the feelings to our children, our grandchildren's safety with her emails and with what she put out there. So once that'll put an end to, number one, that'll put an end to his tax question. And number two, it'll put the bullseye right back on her with this email, because it should not and it will not die.
Listen, I think that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to stuff that he can bring up about her, and I'm sure it's going to come back, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Donna. It's going to come back up. There's so much material out there. I mean, no emails, lies, Benghazi, vetting, no wall, Supreme Court. You know, Saudi Arabia, she's got a lot of splaining to do, if you will. All right, Timmy is in Indiana. Timmy, hi, how are you? You are on the Sean Hannity Show. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I enjoyed the debate last night. I watched it, and I was you know, I thought she looked scripted, and she was looking at notes. God only knows if she had something in her ear telling her what to say. But I wanted to comment on a comment she made. One of her lies that she busted out with about this architect that didn't get paid for some job or whatever. You know, that's a crock of BS. I have a personal friend who works in the construction business who you know, knows of this problem that happened. The guy screwed the job up. It had to be redone. He had to pay somebody else to redo what this guy did. He was paid for part of the stuff, you know, he was paid for purchasing or whatever, you know, supplies and stuff. But for the job, you know, if someone does a job for you and you want it done the way you want it done, you know, Donald's a fair person. People don't know this about the guy, but he's a very fair person with people. The people who work for him, they get paid, they do a good job, they stay with the company or with his contractors or whatever. They all get taken care of, and you can ask anybody that works for him. She's grasping a straw. Sure, there's going to be one person that's disgruntled that's done work for the guy. You know, he's a hard nut to crack. Donald Trump doesn't take crap off people. He wants his job done right. He's paying you to have it done. He wants it done the way he wants it done. You know, Hillary gets on my nerves with this stuff. She drags stuff up. I think Donald should have hit her harder than he did, but, you know, I think he did a good job. I don't care what, you know.
I'm telling you, there's this divide. How you see this debate is fascinating to me. And the way the media sees it, the way the punditry class sees it, is so different from the way the people of this country are seeing it. And it is playing itself out again, just like it did in the Republican primary. And I think they're not understanding how bad things are for real Americans. And that is fundamentally, I think, what's going to drive people to the polls. Now, we'll know more in 42 days. I'm not in the prediction business. I'm not going to believe Donald Trump's the president until I hear Fox News projects. I am not going to, you know, believe that Hillary can't win. I think she can. I think these polls are too close for my comfort level. I think this is a very divided country and a very tight election. And I'm only saying here is that if America wants more of the same, they'll get it with Hillary. If they want to double down on stupid and double down on Obama and worse, they're going to get what they deserve. You get the government you deserve. And I just, you know, the only thing I would say to people is I tried to warn you about Obama. Unfortunately, I was right. I'm trying now to warn people about Hillary. I know with every fiber of my being that I'm right. I know this is not going to end well. You know, when I say America, and Scott Shannon says, America, live or die, we now run the risk of another great republic collapsing. At the end of the day, the America, if Hillary gets the unvetted refugees, Hillary gets the bridge, not the wall, if Hillary gets all the big spending and the child care and daycare and free college and everything free, 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 and we're going to take from the rich and we're going to take away all incentive for business to be in business, then we are going to be a poorer nation with less opportunity, less chances for our kids, and record debt that will ultimately lead to a collapse, a catastrophe. It can happen. It's happened before, and it will happen again. And the only thing, at that point, I'm just going to try and warn the people that agree with me and people that want to listen to this program how to defend yourself, protect yourself for what is ultimately coming. You know, one point that really didn't get any play last night is Trump's point about the debt. This guy's accumulated more debt than every other president before him combined. You've got the Fed playing politics with their quantitative easing, interest rates artificially low. So we have $20 trillion in debt, $125 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Now you raise the interest rates to 8%, you double it. It's now hit a number we can't possibly pay back. And that's a problem because you're talking usually about adjustable rates. All right, so, you know, look, I borrow money for different business projects that I'm involved in. You ever do that? Okay, so, you know, yeah. Do you lock in your 4% now, fixed rate, or let's say you have a home mortgage, do you lock it in or do you get an adjustable rate that can only go up to X percent? What happens if interest rates go up to the level they really should be at? Because right now, any money you're borrowing is free money for the most part. 4% is like free money. So, you know, at some point, we're going to pay the piper. At some point, the bubble is going to and has to burst. And when it does, look, Hillary, she'll just give more speeches and she'll make money. Donald Trump's not going to go bankrupt if the bubble collapses. As he said last night, he'll just go in and buy because government has created yet another opportunity for people that have money to make more money. It's not his fault they're stupid. It's not his fault they're incompetent. He's trying to fix it. And there's probably between the money he spends on the campaign and opportunity costs that he could have been making money. You know, he's losing a fortune. All right, back to our phones. Let's say hi to Teresa Champaign, Illinois, next on the Sean Hannity Show. Hi.
Hi, Sean. Thank you very much for taking my phone call today.
Yes, ma'am. We have less than a minute, but it's all yours. Go ahead.
Okay. I am very happy with how the debate went last night. I thought Trump did a very conservative approach. He could have made a lot of points back and looked very silly, and I think he took the high road, unlike Hillary, who, in my opinion, has set women's back 50 years with her unprofessional antics. I have two more quick points. I've traveled multiple states this summer. I don't see the Hillary signs or bumper stickers or any of the support like you did during the Obama campaigns. The second point is there are many people in the United States that are afraid to say that they are for Trump because of the backlash of being called racist, bigot, etc. And it's gotten to the point, if you don't have, if you have an opinion that's contrary to the majority, then you are racist, bigot, etc.
My advice is at some point, the polls are meaningless to me. At some point, all of the analysis isn't going to mean it. There's one poll that matters, and that's Election Day. And if you're not registered and you still have time, register. If you have not voted and maybe you're going to be able to get your absentee ballot, do what you have to do because you'll get the government you deserve. That I can promise you.
Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes, and then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now, it comes in black and two different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival, and while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com. Free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. Born on America's darkest day, 9/11/01, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping American heroes ever since. And when a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young kids are left behind, well, Tunnel to Towers, they pay the mortgage on the family home off to lift that financial burden. Now, for catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds, well, mortgage-free smart homes that enables severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. And through the foundation's homeless vets program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless vets. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. And people who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities, they need your help more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month. Go to their website. It's the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.